listening to Gila Members Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. Welcome to New Earth Kids, a radio show featuring kids who care about their community and the environment in which they live. On this monthly show, kids of all ages talk about the challenges facing planet Earth, and we tell you how we are creating and implementing solutions. New Earth Kids is part of the Kindred Continuum series and airs the third Monday of the month at 10 a.m. and is replayed on the air the following Sunday at 4 p.m. New Earth Kids is produced by the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance's Youth Empowerment Program, Thinking on a Mountain, for Gila Members Community Radio. Thinking on a Mountain equips kids with the knowledge and skills to navigate an uncertain future while addressing climate justice issues. And now, New Earth Kids.
Just kind of show the residents that if this is something we want done, we could not necessarily do it ourselves, but if they allow us to, we'd like to show how much that we care about where we live and how we want it to look. Well, I'm kind of looking towards my community right now, like we could get this done if we really wanted to.
I love Hurley now more than ever, and just to see the ropes of my town and to see how things turn and how my decisions impact my community, it's really nice to see how the council's influence, you know, plays a role in the town. And yeah, I just appreciate Hurley so much more.
Today on New Earth Kids, we explore two paths of youth activism. Recent Cobre High School graduates Kiana Huerta and Matthew Chavez share their thoughts about what inspires them, how their home communities of Hurley and Bayard have changed over time, and positive shifts they would like to not only witness, but help guide through their own leadership. I'm your host, Nan Franzblau. A native of Hurley, New Mexico, Kiana Huerta is now a full-time student at Western New Mexico University, as well as a member of the Hurley City Council and a vocalist and performer. Bayard native Matthew Chavez is also a full-time student at WNMU, and both he and Kiana are fulfilling their prerequisites for the nursing program. We begin our conversation by discussing their experiences as participants in the Lorenzo de Zavala, or LDZ, Youth Legislative Session. Lorenzo de Zavala was a Mexican and later Tejano physician, politician, diplomat, and author, a worthy role model for youth ready to initiate change. You both attended the LDZ Youth Legislative Program. Can you give our listeners an overview of what that program involves?
Yeah. So the LDZ was a youth legislative program over the span of a week based on UNM's campus here in New Mexico. We got legislative training, leadership training, and I was able to make connections with over 150 young students inspired by politics and to be great members in their communities. And I was able to meet and gain a connection with those people.
Matthew, how did you get involved with the LDZ?
So Gloria, the co-founder with Ernesto Nieto, she gave a presentation at during our junior year for our English 11 class. And she didn't personally make it to our classroom, but she did an online Zoom meeting along with our teacher, and she explained the basics of what the program's about, along with statistics on how many kids attend college after the program, how many get a bachelor's degree, how many move on to get a master's, and what the program's going to kind of focus on. And she did as much possible explanation as she could without getting into too much detail about what the program was going to be, because she did not want us to know at all, because she wanted it to be a very enriching and kind of catch us off guard and kind of prepare us and throw us in this whole new environment that we had nothing and didn't know anyone, because she wanted kids who were going to attend who were bold enough to not know anything that was going on.
Yeah. To sort of adapt and be spontaneous.
And make that first step to even just apply and attend the program. We were kind of, we were put in a little bit of a dark. it was really cool, though, because the first day we had no idea what to expect. And by the end of the week, we were completely changed as people. It was really amazing.
So changed how?
So the program, it teaches you to be a strong figure in your community. And a lot of times people, especially when they're young, they don't think about what's the next step, what's going to come next, and how is my community going to look 10 years down the line. And so it really put us in our that perspective of what we wanted to see happen to our homes and how we ourselves were going to be that change. So in order to get that experience we needed, because a couple years down the road, our peers are going to be the ones in the legislature passing these laws and affecting our community. So we, as students and us as young people, need to be educated in how the legislative process works, Robert's Rules of Order, the chain of command. We need to be educated in order to succeed. So that's kind of what the program did. And it also kind of inspired us as well, because, you know, when you kind of figure out how things work, you get confidence to kind of go out and do that for yourself. That's why I actually applied for the council. I put in my letter of interest because I was like, I thought I could do this. I know how it works, and I was inspired to push myself and run for office.
So it was after the legislative conference that you decided to run for Hurley Town Council.
Yes, I hadn't thought about it before, but it really puts you in that perspective. What do I want to see happen to my town, and how do I want to see that town improve? And those were the things that were, I guess, unique to my people and my culture or my experiences. So I thought I would have to be the one to go out there and do it.
Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself that way too, Matthew?
I'm still always thinking about how I'm going to affect change. But that was kind of Gloria and Ernesto's kind of whole point of the tools and everything that they gave us. And they kept pushing and pushing and pushing that this is an individual experience. Mm-hmm. And even though we were working together along with hundreds of other, or 100, 150 different kids that we didn't know, and there were certain points in time that we need to band together to change and fix something in the program without getting into any details, because, you know. But we were kind of given these tools, and they're like, hey, did you know that you could even use them? And we're like, what? Because there was a point in time, I think, in the program, I'm not going to give anything away, but we didn't like what was going on. And then they're just like, why don't you just change it? And we're like, we can do that? You know? Yeah. And so kind of, I guess, what they were trying to push is that this is your experience. And even though you're working together with other peers, you can do whatever you want to. But unless you voice your opinion within the rules, Robert's Rules of Order, within the system that we in the United States use, that we have created, you're not going to get anything done. Mm-hmm.
Just to clarify a little bit, we can give like some things away, but we basically participated in our own mock legislative session, and we built our own community and our own government within that span of just a couple days. It was very fast-paced, very stressful. It was very stressful. And if we didn't see something that we liked, you had people that would advocate for change within that program. Ended up running for lieutenant governor and was elected as that year's officer. And Matthew actually received the best debater in the House award as well. So we stood our ground.
Uh-huh. So a little bit. Do you guys think you have different styles of how you approach issues and how you might affect change from within the system? How do your two styles compare?
Oh, I feel like I'm definitely the more outspoken one. I definitely like to rally people and get people excited to see change. that's kind of how my focus was, especially in the program and still now.
I'm not sure if I'm the type to get a crowd excited, so I'm more analytical. And if I see an issue, I like to see what's the one thing I can take down or knock down before any change can happen.
How did you acquire your debating skills?
Probably my grandmother. she functions about the same. We kind of like to look at the overall issue, and then if there's a series of things going wrong or things going right, we like to know where it all stems from and where we can affect change there.
And then my parents just say, do it!
Do it.
I think we need a lot of different approaches in order to have a well-rounded approach. So this was the LDZ Youth Legislative Program. LDZ stands for Lorenzo de Zavala. Mm-hmm. And who was Lorenzo de Zavala?
Yeah, you go.
So Lorenzo de Zavala was kind of Texas's first, how do I say this, first Hispanic
center. Within,
well, not necessarily center, but he was more or less an advocate within politics. And he kind of worked to shape and become a representative of, because he was from Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he kind of worked to shape and build policies and get politically, he moved politically within Texas.
Okay.
And so he made big changes and he was actually considered a hero mm-hmm. at a point in time.
So with this program, Ernesto Nieto, sorry, and Gloria de Leon, they took these inspiring people and used their stories to create the LDZ and that program. And it spread across the entire United States. Our program specifically was the Denisio Denis Chavez, Lorenzo de Zavala Youth Legislative Session. I know it's a mouthful, but similarly to Lorenzo, Denis Chavez was the first Hispanic senator in New Mexico, and they have amazing stories, and they use these stories to inspire Hispanic youth to kind of do the same.
And this, I kind of wonder what other programs are called, but they use, I guess, Lorenzo de Zavala as a base because both Ernesto and Gloria are from Texas. And that's where the program was created, and that's where it's founded, and now it's spread to other parts of the country. And so in New Mexico, it's going to be continued to be called the Donisio Denis Chavez Lorenzo de Zavala Youth Legislative Session. A mouthful. But I know from talking with Gloria and Ernesto that there are programs in Chicago mm-hmm. and California, too, I believe, and Boston or
yeah,
New
York? They're everywhere. Washington, they're, everywhere.
And those programs are under different names, but all carry Lorenzo, or all yeah. carry, who is it?
Lorenzo de Zavala.
Lorenzo de Zavala.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty positive, but.
We're confident.
Yeah, they take the inspiring people from each state and yeah. just use their stories, because that's how you connect with people. Yeah. Every program is unique, especially ours. It was filled with a lot, it was primarily focused at Hispanic youth, but it could have included anybody in there. But they used their stories to kind of focus in on New Mexico and what makes New Mexico special. Because when the time comes for legislative policies and laws to be established here, yeah. you got to think of New Mexico.
Yeah. New Mexico is a special place. It's almost like a little country unto itself. What do you guys think makes New Mexico special or unique? Why do we have to pay close attention to our needs as New Mexicans?
I definitely say the culture. It's very beautiful, and a lot of times it can get lost. Maybe the issues make people lose it, but there's something so beautiful and pure about all the nations that come together in New Mexico, Hispanic, Pueblo, and it's just really beautiful. And I feel like it sets us apart from different states as well. The cariño here is something really unique.
I feel like a lot of people, when talking about New Mexico, they're like, there's nothing there. And I'm like, that's the whole point. I'm like, there's like, we don't have, like, you guys have people, you guys have cities. Granted, there's a little bit more opportunity and definitely a few more states. But in place of that, we have the nature that surrounds us. We have the forest.
Art.
And then we're connected to the land.
Yes. Yeah.
And we have the culture that stemmed off of that for some thousands of years, others hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of something that we still carry with us without diminishing it,
yeah.
or hopefully never diminishing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Well, and it feels too like, especially in the more rural areas, that there's a strong sense of community
yeah.
here.
Yes. And I feel like there is a need for more attention to rural areas because, you know, unlike other districts, when we use Albuquerque for an example, they kind of have all their roads, their infrastructure all paved out, and it's right, and it's in a good position to where they can start using and allocating their money towards parks and libraries and fun stuff. But with more rural communities, we need more attention to areas, you know, that physical areas that need help. You have the ditch, that's the risk of flooding, livestock, that's always a factor as well. And we need a lot of times money allocated to those areas, especially our infrastructure that just need help, whereas bigger cities can start putting in parks. But hopefully we can get our area to the point where we can start having the fun stuff, and and it won't be just nothingness anymore. We can start showing off our culture in different ways.
I've hit the same pothole for like the past 3 years, and it's going to stay there for probably
another
year.
Jeez.
You mentioned that the LDZ Youth Legislative Program really changed you. In what ways do you feel empowered by that experience, and how has it changed you?
I feel more confident and sure of my abilities. Now more than ever, I'm looking ahead to the future. I have a vision of what I want to see in my community, and I have a vision of what I want to see within myself as well. Before, I wasn't really thinking about so much as what's to come. I was just thinking in the moment, you know, what am I going to eat for breakfast? I'm always thinking about food. Or what I'm going to, you know, accomplish in that day. But now I'm looking at what I want to accomplish in the future. Not only for me, but for other people as well. Definitely a little bit more selflessly, I would say.
So this kind of helped give you a little bit of a roadmap for being able to do
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes.
How about you, Matthew?
I don't know. It was a little different. I guess, like, I was always quiet, and I still kind of am, and I like to keep to myself. So as a kid, I always observe things. But I noticed, especially with the program in the first couple days, I needed to quickly change that, because it was more or less an experience that was going to drive by fast. Mm-hmm. And unless I held on to something, it was going to kind of go. I will always think about the future and what's coming and what's going, but it's more or less learning to take action and learn that I don't have all the time in the world to do it and gather myself to quickly make decisions and more or less kind of questioning, I guess, if I can, or more or less like, what if I could? And we'll never know unless I try.
You are listening to KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. This is New Earth Kids. I'm your host, Nan Franzblau, and today I'm joined by Matthew Chavez and Kiana Huerta, both recent graduates of Cobre High and now full-time students at Western New Mexico University. We've been talking about their participation in the Lorenzo de Zavala Youth Legislative Session and how that experience has inspired and prepared them to become effective leaders in their communities. Next, Kiana and Matthew discuss their community service work through Key Club and Kiwanis.
We participated in Key Club. It's like the high school version of Kiwanis since eighth grade for me, and him since freshman year, I believe, also eighth grade. But we moved on to the next level of Kiwanis in the community. It's community-based volunteer work, just lifting up spirits and providing aid where necessary. Was that 4th of July, huh?
Yeah, that was 4th of July.
I'm always at the park. I'm like, it's a blur.
What event was that?
So for the 4th of July, we did a fundraiser where we made breakfast for the community. There was a lot of people at the park, so we had a lot of mouths to feed. We also do an Easter egg hunt for the kids at Penny Park. And we stuff the Easter eggs, hide them for the kids, and it's really cute. I love that.
I did the face painting and everything, and then there's bell ringing in front of Walmart. There's lots of activities, mostly centered around holidays. Mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily sure about Valentine's Day, but like stuff like St. Patrick's Day and 4th of July, Halloween, Christmas and stuff. And most of the work Kiwanis does is centered around the children. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of their whole motto, like saving the children of the world. They kind of want to focus their work towards the youth, and they want to give help to the youth and kind of get the youth involved in their community as well. And so that's why they're so excited when we joined, because it's a little bit more difficult to do it now, I guess.
Yeah. And we also lay wreaths in Fort Baird for the veterans as well. That's one of my personal favorites. We get up early in the morning. The sun's barely rising and it's so fresh outside and pretty. And a lot of times they have the AmeriCorps. That's around the time when they come down. And I get to meet people from a bunch of different states. They're lovely, a lovely group of teens and young adults, and I always love to see the community as well gather around to help pay respects for the veterans that have served, and that's one of my favorites personally. Love Kiwanis.
Yeah, there's a strong community of veterans over in Bayard. We've met them at the Veterans Park in Santa Clara. Before we talk about your communities and how they've changed over the years, I'm just wondering who or what stands out as being influential on the path that has brought you both here today. What influences have you had, or were there any events or people who really inspired you to go this direction?
For me, it was Senator Saya Hemphill. I was there whenever she first ran for senator. And even now, she continues to inspire me. Her story is so amazing, what she stands for. I love her overall as a person. And when the time comes, and in the future, I would love to run for the House myself as representative. She said that she would be there to support me, and she kind of knows the ropes a little bit, so I definitely am very excited to kind of have her as a mentor, and I can't say anything else. I'm just kidding. No, it's an inside scoop.
Yeah, that's great.
I suppose for myself, it would probably be mostly my community, and as weird as it sounds, mostly like any issues or troubles I've had with it over the years. Mm. It's not necessarily learning to kind of, I guess, look up to something to gather inspiration or hope from, but it's noticing that things need to change, or some things are really good and don't need to change, but it's recognizing that I need to initiate that change rather than just waiting for someone else to do it, because it may never happen.
That's right. Well, let's talk about that. Matthew, you're from Bayard, and Kiana, you're from Hurley. I'm wondering how your communities have changed as you guys have grown up, and what have been some of those changes? Well, first, let's just talk about what have been some of those changes.
I feel like now more than ever, Hurley is more community-based. Our council all work together to achieve what's best for the residents there. Being residents themselves and ourselves, we know what needs to be changed, and there has been a lot of effort put forward into initiating that change. Thankfully, we have more grants. Our infrastructure and our roads are the best. I'm just kidding. I love the layout of my little town. It's so cute.
Yeah,
and we're putting more sidewalks in place. The pool is updated and super nice. Just on the days it's a little colder, you know, it's not too nice. But but we have more money going towards parks. Finally, we're at that point where we can start putting money towards the quality of life for our residents and especially the kids there. Yeah. Right now in progress, we have the Big Muddy Park, and it's going to have BMX trails, walking trails for the elderly. We're thinking of putting a huge walking trail throughout the entire town to connect Hurley for the residents as well. Mm-hmm. And currently in place is a new library that we're kind of working on right now. So it's really cool. There's a lot more stuff being added to Hurley just to kind of overall make our town just a little bit more quirky. And we're going to have a Dollar General. Yay!
Oh, wow. Wow.
I know, they're popping up everywhere, but we need one in Hurley because I'm tired of going to Santa Clara just to get some toilet paper. But that's really exciting.
Well, and it sounds like a lot of that infrastructure is going to help bring the community together. Yes. It kind of seems to go both ways.
Yes, I'm super excited. The residents are excited, and it's going to be a really cool time. We're also thinking about moving the old train depot to the Big Muddy area. It is a historic building, and we kind of want to use that and utilize it to bring more foot traffic to Hurley as well, some more tourism. We always need some more money, some new businesses going in, and all of that is just improving Hurley as a town overall, and we're on the right path, I think.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Feel kind of outdone here. But besides the recent trail built that's connecting Bear to Santa Clara.
That is a really nice trail.
I love that.
That's kind of, I guess, one of the more recent improvements Bear has seen. But over the years, it's mostly a change in businesses. Mm-hmm. A lot come and a lot go, and I don't know, it's a little different. Brito Caliente changed locations.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Love them.
But as far as new sidewalks or anything,
Roads could use a little help in Bear.
Recently, across over on my side, the train tracks located by where the buses are parked for stations, they decided to change the railroad and fix any how bumpy it was, and so they smoothed it out. There's still a pothole right next to it, but that's all right. So besides those,
new mural on the library.
Oh yeah,
that's
the library
so pretty. That's my favorite mural.
The library is definitely the branch into progress. Mm-hmm. They're always doing something, because there used to be just nothing but a plot of dirt right next to the library, and they decided to make it a little garden. They have a little gazebo right over it. They laid down a nice path, and they're planting trees, and they're doing murals and stuff. And definitely, if we're looking towards progress in Baird, the library is definitely the place to look.
Mm-hmm.
And so as far as improving the community and making it look nice, I'm not sure if we could rely on the library's resources. I think we'll need to help them out a little bit. But hopefully we could start to initiate more progress. Right now, Baird feels a little divided because of the mayor run right now.
Oh, but, yeah, that's how elections are all the time.
But
elections
that,
will do that.
Besides that, I think we need to look towards progress. So
yeah,
we'll figure a couple of things out.
Yeah.
The last New Earth Kids show that I did, I interviewed some of the folks from the library and Isaac Martinez, who had been in Key Club with guys, and he worked on the mural. So I was fortunate to be able to talk with them a little bit about that process. And it is a spectacular mural, and that native garden going in next door is gorgeous. Are there any other things in Bayard going on? Like, I'm wondering about programs that might empower youth or involve young people. How do you guys envision a future that could help incorporate and inspire more young people in Hurley and Bayard and Silver City?
Mm-hmm. I feel like one of Bayard's greatest assets is the high school. You have hundreds of kids eager to do something in Bayard. And I feel like if they were to find a way to get the high school kids more involved in the town of Bayard, yeah, like the YCC. So yeah, in Hurley, for example, I know, of course, it's not including Cobrey High School, but Aldo Leopold is going to be getting involved in Hurley a little bit more. So we have a park on C Street, D Street, that park, not the A Street park, but it's one kind of forgotten. Right now, as it stands, there's just swings. There's a small gazebo, but Aldo Leopold is going to be going in there and completely remodeling that park for the kids in that area.
Wow.
And we are super excited for that. And I feel like getting Cobrey High School involved in Bayard, as Aldo Leopold is doing in Hurley, would be something that would be beneficial to the community, and I would like to see something like that happen in the future.
So some community service projects or a YCC program.
Yeah.
Kind of learning to, like I said before, take matters into our own hands and just kind of show the residents that if this is something we want done, we could not necessarily do it ourselves, but if they allow us to, we'd like to show how much that we care about where we live,
mm-hmm,
and how we want it to look. And if there's, you know, by getting YCC involved, I feel like that would be a good idea. And also, even Santa Clara has a YCC. So I was like, well, I'm kind of looking towards my community right now. Like, we could get this done if we really wanted to.
Is that sort of the function of Key Club, to help inspire kids to get involved?
100%.
Key Club was definitely one of those groups that we kind of just all met in a room and we're like, okay, what do we want to get done today?
Yeah,
you know,
I love that.
If there's any ideas, and we just kind of throw them around. Sometimes it was helping the local Kiwanis Club would reach out and be like, hey, we need your guys' help on this day. And we'd be like, okay, we'd, you know, send X amount of kids and then help you. But whenever it came time and it was like, let's say January or a month where there wasn't necessarily a holiday that Kiwanis would kind of do something, we would kind of look towards our own community and we'd be like, okay, what can they allow us to do?
Yeah.
And that was usually the key word, like, hey, what can they allow us to do?
Yeah.
Because we ended up picking up trash and kind of cleaning up around our school for an entire day.
Wow.
Because we just decided, like, okay, this is what, you know.
This is what we need.
Yeah,
it was dirty. And something really exciting, too, on the topic of getting schools involved in their community, I would like to see a little bit more activity within Western New Mexico University and the community. I know a lot of the times, and it should to some extent stay that way, Western is like its own little island. Mm-hmm. And I do appreciate that. I do appreciate the solo Western activities, but I feel like activities and sports teams and groups can maybe get involved with the community activities a little bit more. There's a bunch of events happening at the park, and there isn't as much presence of WNMU as I would like to see.
Because I'm super used to, especially with Kiwanis, like getting out there in the community and, hey, this is Cobra High, this is Key Club, this is what we do. But there's not so much that kind of excitement and energy for the clubs here at WNMU. And I understand it's college, and to some extent it should be limited to WNMU, those experiences and that exposure. But I saw recently they had done a fundraiser. I don't remember which club specifically, but they were so excited that they raised $50. And from my experience,
me and Kiana just kind of looked at each other.
We're like, what? $50?
I remember I was the one that found that out. And I was talking to the man, and he was like, yeah, we raised $50 so far. You know, pretty good sale. And I was like, mm-hmm. And
then on a good day, we're used to
out.
Maybe like $3,000 on our activities, fundraisers in our clubs.
And we kind of looked at Kiana and we're like, do they know how to do fundraising?
So I think it definitely goes both ways. We need more WNMU presence in the community, but we also need more of the community support for our college as well.
Mm.
Just support overall from everything, because we do have a wonderful campus, a wonderful institution here in Silver City.
Yeah.
And I don't see a lot of excitement for that. I don't see a lot of, we have that. This is like Cobra is an asset for Baird. WNMU is an asset for Silver City, and I feel like there needs more energy towards that.
Even in Baird, I feel like you would notice if, you know, you've ever hung around campus for an unusual amount of time, but if there's an event going on posted by either Student Life or a specific club, you notice that there is about like a quarter to like one third of the people that show up because they intended to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two thirds is just because no one had anything going on and they just so happened to be in the building and be like, hey, something's going on, and contact their friend. And I think the same case was in Cobra, but the difference is there wasn't any events. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes kids just need something to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to use like volleyball for an example. Their volleyball team is kicking butt right now here at Western. They're such a good group of women and athletes. And I had attended my first volleyball game just recently, and I was surprised at how little the community presence was at these games.
Yeah.
At Cobra, I'm used to dozens of people attending from Baird.
Yeah.
But at Western, I just didn't see that. And I was disappointed because these girls are amazing athletes, and I think that Western deserves as much support from the community as Cobra did when I was in Baird.
This is KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. You are listening to New Earth Kids, part of the Kindred Continuum series on this community radio station. New Earth Kids is sponsored by the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance's program, Thinking on a Mountain. Thinking on a Mountain empowers youth by providing them with knowledge, skills, and a platform to address pressing issues in their communities. New Earth Kids airs the third Monday of every month at 10 a.m. and the following Sunday at 4 p.m. Archived shows can also be found at gmcr.org. Today on New Earth Kids, we are joined by Kiana Huerta and Matthew Chavez, both recent graduates of Cobra High School and now full-time students at Western New Mexico University. Let's return to our conversation, where Kiana discusses her experience on the Hurley Town Council, and Matthew talks about the importance of community.
Kiana, you are the youngest person ever to be elected to the Hurley Town Council. And you said you were really inspired to do that from the youth legislative session you took part in. How is actually being on the council either different or the same as what you expected?
Okay, so I feel like this is a given because it was the span of a week, so it's a lot less fast-paced than I expected initially. And it includes a lot more numbers. It's a lot of allocating funds, applying for grants, and a lot more HR related issues than I had initially intended. But that's a given, you know. It's a job, and those come with jobs. And then there's the part that I did expect, just the growth and love for my community. I love Hurley now more than ever, and just to see the ropes of my town and to see how things turn and how my decisions impact my community. I know I have, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, like Spider-Man. But it's really nice to see how the council's influence, you know, plays a role in the town. And yeah, I just appreciate Hurley so much more.
I'm curious about what issues you guys are most concerned about. I mean, we've talked about the community and getting youth involved. Are there any bigger issues, like maybe climate change or social justice? Are there other issues that you guys feel need to be addressed both locally and globally?
I feel like overall, I've seen how just simply loving other people, just having that kindness in your heart, can just impact a whole community. And I feel like if people just took the time to sit back and think about their actions and how their actions impacts people, and how just having just a little bit more compassion, they can see how big of an impact even just a simple hello can be. I feel like that's an issue. There's a lack of love for other people. People are just in it for themselves. And it's really sad to see, because I'm a family oriented person for sure. And a lot of times seeing people under the weather, you know, it affects me, but for some, it's just another day. And people don't really take the time to think about others on a daily basis. It's just me all the time. And that's a problem.
I guess right now I feel like we're in an age of information, you know, like I could pick up my phone right now and I could find 50 different issues that I didn't know before, and I can do it within probably an hour. We are just surrounded by information, and that's a good thing. It's good to be educated and be relevant and be caught up on issues. You know, some people could care less, some people could care a little bit more, whether in terms of how it's going to affect our lives and our community. Some more than others, others not so much. But I think, especially with my youth and my generation, it's kind of more or less learning to kind of put the phone down occasionally. Mm-hmm. Like, more or less, I can find issues, and I could find a lot of good news, and I could find a lot of bad news, and it's kind of in our face, whether we like it or not. And I think it's more or less learning that we need to learn how to put the phone down and start looking towards our own community, because that's what we can do for now. Start working on what.
Yeah, sorry. Start small, then go big.
Start small and then go big, because we could kind of get caught up in, you know, what's happening all across the world and anything, but we can't worry about how things are going to end up unless we take the step forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's interesting. I mean, you're both bringing up connection to our communities and finding the compassion and to care for others and care for people. Because really, I don't know the exact saying, but it goes something like the health of a community is measured by whoever is having the hardest time. That is going to affect the community. Mm-hmm. And so raising the overall health of our community is, you know, starts with the individuals.
Yep. I always say, where there is love, there is life.
I wouldn't say that would solve all the world's problems, but...
Yeah, we're facing, like, big issues like climate change and, you know, like, Halloween was very, very cold this year. You know, like, there's some things that I don't remember happening as a kid that are happening now. Mm. And I guess that could be a little concerning, but we...
Shocking.
Mm. Whether we could... We could observe those issues and we could kind of, within our minds, come up with ideas on how to solve them and, you know. Yeah. But as far as community involvement and getting our voice out there, we kind of got to recognize that there's strength in numbers. Mm-hmm. And so unless we could get our entire community almost on the same page, then we can't really do anything.
And if anyone's going to fix the problem, it's going to be Silver City for sure.
Oh, my God.
That's what I like to think.
You guys are both full-time students. And you have your political activism and other interests too, I'm sure. How do you guys balance it all? Do you have any strategies for organizing your time or for finding your sanity in those little moments in between?
I like to say that we have each other. It's a battle. It's school.
That's a no. So
I'm a full-time student. Hurley councilwoman, and I am also a musician. So a lot of times people see me juggling these things and they think, how do you do it? And I say, music isn't a job for me, it's an outlet. Anytime I'm performing, I'm not up there, you know, just because I'm making money. I'm up there because that's what's keeping me sane. Singing, it helps so much, and I'm very grateful I have that outlet and I have that networking system and that connection with so much people is so valuable to me. I cherish it, and I'm so grateful for it every day, and I'm so blessed for my abilities. And yeah, music is definitely the key for me, at least.
That brings some balance to you.
Yes, it does. It gets a little crazy.
A to-do list. But I noticed as time has gone by, I have to get very, very, very specific with my to-do list. I have to be like, I have to do this, not necessarily at the times, because I notice the more I focus on how much time is passing by, the less I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh my God, my day's packed, and I have like one thing that day. For me, it's focusing on what I can kind of get done by the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
and just save the rest for the next day and not worry about it too much until like... just cross a day off my list.
So kind of setting realistic goals.
Yeah. And that's what's so interesting. Like, our viewpoints on things are very different, but they're so necessary for each other to succeed. I feel like we're kind of a team. But on top of that, we also have our own support groups with our families. So I feel like the key to juggling... it's dog. But the key to juggling all these is definitely just having someone that you can rely on, or someone that you can trust. That's definitely been a huge help, especially I feel like that sprouted from COVID, a time when I felt so alone and isolated. Then more than before, it was necessary for me to get out of my room and talk to somebody. And I've learned that from COVID, just having someone to talk to and is really important. That's, and we're still doing it.
It's kind of a crazy experience. That whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk about
COVID right now. Okay.
I won't bring it up again.
But the one lesson I kind of did learn was like a change of environment quickly affects a change in mindset. So there have been times where like I was like, okay, and I set my list in front of me and I had all my papers and I had my computer in front of me and I was just typing. And then all of a sudden I realized... typing like the same sentence for the past hour and I haven't gotten anything done. And I kind of look around my room and I'm like, no wonder. Because even changing your clothes or getting something to eat or just stepping outside really quickly, brushing your teeth, whatever you want to do, changing from, I guess, your casual or relaxed or how your day was going, the clothes you chose to wear or the place you chose to be doesn't necessarily have to tie into the work you do or what you need to get done by the end of the day. And that's kind of what I noticed, is that I didn't really get much done until I moved to the kitchen or the next room, or until I kind of changed out of my clothes or started standing up or needed to like kind of assess, okay, how is my environment or the things I'm choosing to hold on to can affect how I'm going to go into the work.
And we can't let COVID affect us still. We have we can't hold on to it. We have to keep pushing because that's the only way we're going to get something done. We have to switch that mindset.
Sometimes I just brush my teeth.
Sometimes, no, what I would do is I would just rearrange my room and then I was like, whoa, I could do like 50 stuff now. But it's just that switch.
Yeah, cluttered room, cluttered mind, kind of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We need to make that switch now.
Yeah. Clean my car today. You know, stuff like that.
You guys are both fulfilling your prerequisites for nursing. What inspired you guys to go into nursing?
For me, it was my grandmother and seeing her on her challenge to fighting cancer. It wasn't a recent switch. I had known I wanted to be involved in a career that helped people and just made people feel okay. So I was juggling with the thought of maybe a social worker, you know, a doctor even. But in the end, I settled on a nursing profession because I'm a more hands-on person and I saw the beauty in nursing as a career and I really wanted to go with it. It's not a calling, but I feel like as a nurse, I would be able to be a good provider.
I guess for me, it was my lack of decision making because I guess growing up, I was very artistic and I still am. And I noticed anything I tried within any realm of art, I became very good at very quickly. Pottery, drawing, anything. And, you know, they're like, oh my God, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. And then when I started going into more of the realms of like my physical abilities, you know, like being in sports and in the Boy Scouts and treating injuries and getting my first aid and stuff like that, they're like, oh my God, you're good at that, you're good at this. And I, like, by the time my senior year rolled around, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I was like, do something you're good at. And I'm like, I don't want to sound like, you know, full of myself. I'm good at a lot of things, you know, like that doesn't really help. And Kiana's like, why don't you try nursing? And I was like, well, and then everyone all my life has always told me I'm good under pressure. You know, I could still do things. I'm not scared of blood. I'm not scared of fluids. I'm not scared of anything. I could assess what's going on.
It was a very problem solving, like, way.
My hands are very, you know, very still, and I could, like, you know, do what I need to do. And nursing kind of provided an outlet in which there's so many different fields.
Yeah.
And I can go into a bunch of different things. And I guess from here on, it's going to kind of be me exploring what I want to have as a job.
Yeah.
What I want to surround myself with and kind of what the environment I want to be in terms of nursing. And there's just so much to choose from.
So it's sort of a launching point for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Kiana, do you see a connection between your music and activism? Are they related in any way to you that you're aware of?
I feel like that connection, it comes with, like, love. I'm gonna go back to love. But a lot of times when I'm up there and I'm performing and I'm singing, I'm able to see people get together and laugh and dance and just enjoy their night listening to the music. And that's what I want to see in my community. I want to see people being happy to live in Hurley, being happy to live in Grant County, and to just enjoy themselves in our community and to have a pride, a sense of pride for why they live there and appreciating the culture here. And the main reason I even wanted to run again for the Hurley Council is because I wanted there to be a new sense of pride for the town. I wanted residents to feel happy and to feel involved and to feel heard. And when I'm performing and I'm up there and I see people enjoying themselves, I wanted that to kind of reflect what I see every day. I didn't want it just to be, oh, we're listening to good music, let's go dance, let's have some fun. I wanted to be every day, hey, we're living in Grant County, let's go have a good time.
This is KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico. And you are listening to New Earth Kids. Today we're talking with Matthew Chavez and Kiana Huerta, native residents of Bayard and Hurley about their activism, what inspires them, and positive changes they'd like to see in their communities. Next, as Kiana elaborates on women who have inspired her, she focuses on union activist Dolores Huerta. With Cesar Chavez, Dolores Huerta founded the National Farm Workers Association, the precursor of the United Farm Workers Union, and she served as vice president of the UFW for over 3 decades. Over the last 60 years, Dolores has successfully organized workers, negotiated contracts, advocated for safer working conditions, fought for workers' benefits, lobbied for workers' legislative representation, and supported Latinos and women running for political office. Now, back to Kiana Huerta and Matthew Chavez.
Definitely Dolores too. It's so many people.
Okay.
She can't decide.
I can't pick. It's Shelly, like, it's my mom, it's Angelica Padilla, it's so many people. So many people.
So you've been influenced by a lot of different people.
Yes.
And it sounds like a lot of women.
Yes.
How did Dolores Huerta influence you?
So a lot of people, you know, it's the name, it's the Huerta name. Unfortunately, we're not related. However, we're both Huerta, so... But just her story, her fearlessness to be outspoken, what she stood for as a person, even I really grew an appreciation for her and her achievements and her personal values as well. Dolores Huerta, even now, is still a strong woman like she has always been. And, you know, she is soft-spoken now as an older woman. However, she is not soft-spoken at all because she will still use a mic and still get up there and tell you what needs to happen and how we need to do it. But one of her biggest things is the youth being in legislature and getting their voices out. Her specifically, it's about talking to your senators, having a presence in the state and having an opinion in what laws are passed and what laws should be passed. And so in the LDZ, we take these figures and get inspired by them. She inspired me to, once again, get out there, make sure my voice is heard. And a lot of times I don't have trouble with that because majority of the time there's a microphone in my hand anyways. But she is really an inspiration.
Did you meet her?
I did meet her in person, and it was such a cool feeling. I had always grown up looking up to her and hearing her story and watching videos about her accomplishments. And I was even going to do my... senior project on her because I was just obsessed. But whenever she walked in that room, it was at the Deming Cesar Chavez Charter School, and it felt like just pressure, excitement. I feel like you could hear a needle drop.
Wow.
And when she walked in, everyone was kind of was still holding their breath but breathing, I guess. It was an amazing experience that kind of peaked in that moment. It was incredible meeting her for the first time, and she's so cute and she's so awesome and strong, and oh my gosh, such a beautiful woman. I was so excited to meet her.
Did you meet her too, Matthew?
Mm-mm, I no. wasn't there.
He heard about it for 3 days after, though. Still hearing about it.
Matthew, is there anyone else? I mean, you mentioned your grandmother being a great debater. Is there anyone else who might have been a big influence in your life? Any kind of mentorship?
I'd probably say people that, you know, I've been there along the way. You know, like my older brother and Kiana. Kiana's definitely one of them. And just kind of, I guess, little bits and pieces from the people I've met along the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to attribute it to a lot of it to one person, but I guess everyone's kind of given me a push along the way.
Yeah. Nice. Some more than others. Like me. He'll be like, I need to do this, this, and this. And I go, do it! Do it!
Nice.
But
yeah.
Similarly, I can't pinpoint it to one person. I guess I would say everyone that's helped me along the road, because there's been so many. And
like all of our teachers.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Most of our teachers.
Yeah.
At Cobre High?
Yes. And even now, uh-huh. Oh my goodness, I love all my teachers. They're the best.
Yeah. Biscuit, that is, you know, there's a lot of them.
Yes. Okay, I have one more question for you guys. Any future plans? What do you see yourselves doing in addition to being students and all the things you're doing? Do you see yourselves taking any particular action, or do you have a vision of yourselves doing anything in particular in the future?
I would like to make Hurley the place to be. I know a lot of times, you know, Silver is that hangout spot that kids like to go to, and Hurley is a ways away, but I really want some more foot traffic in the town. That's my goal.
It's kind of a ways away.
It's a ways away, but we can make it happen.
Right now, I guess it'll be bringing excitement to Barrett in a healthy, not blowing the budget type of way, but like kind of like treating Barrett like this is what we got, and let's start to take care of it and show how much we love it. Because right now, I'm not sure if anyone knows this, but Barrett's population has been decreasing steadily since like 1988, and it's been going down every single year. And, you know, knowing how general population works, that's not necessarily because, well, everyone there is old. We are surrounded by retirement communities, but it's more or less that people are sending their youth elsewhere because there is, quote unquote, nothing in Baird. And we'll start to show our colors and see what we got. So I want to help with that and start to get involved, like joining with the library. And they've helped me out so far, like with Kiwanis and participating in Terrific Kids. They've already shown their support with me and stuff and pushed me along the way and given me free copies, even though when they should have charged me 25 cents per page.
But there's a saying where it's you can find opportunity elsewhere, you can make opportunity here. We're the make opportunity here people.
Nice. Well, and it also reminds me of, it's not where you are, it's who you are, right? And so
exactly. Everyone's like, oh, you need to, why are you going to Western? And I'm like, because Western's the best, and I know it's a hidden gem, and it's only going to get better.
Because I'm an honor roll student, and I'm getting money back.
Well, we have a lot of gems around here, and I really appreciate you guys supporting that and vocalizing that and, you know, gearing your futures towards preserving that and helping it grow. So I want to thank you so much, Kiana Huerta and Matthew Chavez, for talking with us here on New Earth Kids. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Yes.
Yay.
Thank you. And I look forward to following up with you guys in the future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That concludes this episode of New Earth Kids, part of the Kindred Continuum series on Gila Mimbres Community Radio. I would like to thank Matthew Chavez and Kiana Huerta for sharing their thoughts and experiences and for their dedication to working for positive change in their communities. New Earth Kids is sponsored by the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance and their program, Thinking on a Mountain, which empowers kids with knowledge and skills to navigate an uncertain future. New Earth Kids is produced by the New Earth Project for Gila Mimbres Community Radio, radio that is local, listener-supported, and community-centered. New Earth Kids airs the third Monday of the month at 10 a.m. and the following Sunday at 4 p.m. with music by Jason Shaw. I'm your host, Nan Fransblau. Thanks for listening. See you next month.
Thank you so much for listening to New Earth Kids, part of the Kindred Continuum series on KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico. We'd like to thank the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance and their program, Thinking on a Mountain, for sponsoring this show. We would also like to recognize KURU General Manager Marcus Hansen for his ongoing support. May we all continue to listen, learn, and grow together. Bye now.